holiness. It's kind of a word like saying offering. It's almost a dirty word in the church. It's become almost a dirty word, hasn't it? Which is kind of ironic because it's the opposite to that, right? It's the opposite to that. So tonight I've called this message, "What the Heck is Holiness?" Holiness, it conjures up all different kinds of responses and reactions, right? Just when you say the word, it does. It conjures up all kinds of reactions and responses. And most of them have a kind of negative light put on them because of different abuses and things like that that have happened. When I say holiness, you know, sometimes you might think of an old, stale building, an old-style church in some very pompous, pious, you know, priest in robes, very distant and cold and things like that. Or you might just immediately think about legalism, you know, and a list of laws and a list of rules and a list of things you can't do. Right? A list of do's and don'ts. You might think of, like, you know, the Amish. Do you know what I mean? Who, their attempt is to be holy. Really, that's actually what their attempt is, but it's actually without relationship, really. And I'm not saying that no Amish people have relationship with God, but often in attempts to be holy, if it's done without the context of relationship and really knowing who God is, it just equals religion. And religion is like dividing or timesing, multiplying by zero. Anything times religion equals religion, right? Anything times zero equals zero. So if you have faith times religion, it equals religion. If you have holiness times religion, it equals religion. It's all, you know, when religion is involved and not relationship, it just becomes legalism, and it becomes about a list of things that are actually impossible and the reason Jesus came in the first place, right? Because the law was there to basically teach everybody that we could not do it by ourselves, right? The Bible says that the law is a tutor. So the Old Testament law was basically set up in all of its extremities and everything else to tell the world that you cannot do this. We need Jesus. It was impossible, right? But somewhere along the line, somebody came in and suggested that now it's like holiness replaced the Old Testament law. And now holiness is a new list of things to do to try and get to the place that we could only get to because of Jesus. Right? If we could get there by ourselves, Jesus never needed to come. And he paid an extreme price. That, remember, he said in the garden, "If there's any way I can get out of this, Father, but not my will, yours be done. If any way you can take this cup, this bitter, bitter cup that I'm about to have to drink, if there's any other way than this, please take it, but not my will, yours be done." There was no other way out of it than for Jesus to have to die. So if he didn't have to, he died for nothing, right? If we could do it by ourselves, he died for nothing. But holiness and being holy is something to be celebrated and excited over. Is that your normal response to what holiness might be? Something to be excited about? Something to celebrate? I don't know if anyone would put their hand up in the room to say, yeah, holiness is something to be excited and celebrate about, because it's been so contrary to our culture in the church about what it actually means to be holy. 1 Peter 2 says this. It says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people," this is the New King James, "that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy." To be holy is to be selected and separated out as the best of the best for the Lord. That's what holy means. Right? It means to be separated, dedicated, kept special, sacred for the Lord. Remember in Exodus 20, verse 8, in the Ten Commandments, it talks about the Sabbath. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What was the Lord actually saying? He actually meant, remember the Sabbath day so that you can keep it separated, dedicated, special for the Lord. He wasn't saying, remember the Sabbath, don't do anything wrong. Because you weren't allowed to do anything wrong on any day. Right? So he wasn't just saying, one day a week, don't do your filthy sins. All right? He says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Remember on the Sabbath to keep a day that is dedicated, separated, special for me, for the Lord. And that's what it means to be holy. Holy means to be separated out, to be made special, dedicated to the Lord. Let me read that verse again now. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That's something to be excited about, right? You have been separated, dedicated, called out for the Lord. You are holy. That's a revelation, right? It's like taking Andre's little eyedropper of revelation, the Father's, oh, is that what it is? It's like you've been picked for the softball team that you weren't picked for at school, but are well and truly over it. Can I bring water? No. Ephesians 1, 3 to 5. Does anyone bring their Bible? I don't hear the turning of pages. Or the swiping of screens. Ephesians 1, 3 to 5. Yes, which one of these apostolic devices would you like? Ephesians 1, 3 to 5 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Come on. That's worth getting excited about. Let me read it again, because I know you're just contemplating it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Come on! Do you notice where I went for my reaction? Come on! Going to have an altar call for all of you at the end. Pride is not holiness. No, I'm just kidding. You have been selected and put on team holy. Forget team Joel. You're on team holy. You've been selected, chosen, separated, made special for him. It's holy water. Selected specially for me. It's like this, right? This is a kind of a crazy little analogy. It's like those clothes that your mum buys for you that are just for special occasions. That you're not allowed to, yours doesn't still buy you clothes for special occasions. It's those clothes that your mum buys you for special occasions that you just want to wear because they're your best clothes, but you're not allowed to. They're for the special occasions, right? This is one of my first church gigs. That's me at age 4 being page boy for my auntie. Just keep going, it's filling me up. You notice my shirt's still untucked though. I didn't hear anything. So being holy is like those special clothes that you're only allowed to wear on special occasions. And they're in your wardrobe, right? And mum wants you to keep them clean and special because they're special for special occasions. I remember when I was about 7 or 8 years old and I got this brand new pair of Velcro shoes. They were like navy blue and they were Velcro, and I'm pretty sure it was when Velcro was invented. Because I'd never kind of seen them before and they were so flash and fancy. It's like you didn't have to do laces up. And they were off. And they were my special shoes that I could only wear for nice things, for special occasions. And you know what it's like when you get those new pair of special shoes and you walk around like this? Just looking at your shoes, your new shoes. They're so shiny. And no one had really seen Velcro before that, so I was always an early adopter of technology. This was going completely different when I was preparing. You are the clothes in your wardrobe reserved for special occasions. Separated, chosen, holy clothes, holy people. That is what being holy is. Listen, you don't earn holy by being separate. Come on, somebody. Today the word of the Lord is. Now's when they start running up and throwing feet, money at your feet. That's kind of, let's just try that. Let's. Yeah, all of a sudden I'll be peppered with dollar coins. They actually did that when I was preaching in New Zealand once. They actually literally did that. People just came up and were throwing money on the stage when it was a good point. So when it happened, I repeated the point over and over. You don't earn holy by being separate. You don't earn holy by being separate. You don't earn... Oh. Come on. Notes don't hurt as much. You don't earn holy by being separate. You are holy, which makes you separate. You don't earn holy by being separate. You are holy, which makes you separate. Special, dedicated, just for special occasions, just for the Lord. Being holy is not about if I keep those clothes clean enough, they will become the special occasion ones. They already are the special occasion ones, and so you keep them clean because of that. This is a good message. It's getting a good response. Talking about holiness and it's working. So we keep our clothes clean because they are the special occasion ones. Present yourself to God, holy, separated, special, sanctified. Romans 12:1, right, says this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. He's really saying, please, brothers, by the mercies of God, it's like, please, bro, have mercy that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's like mum saying, please, just keep these clothes clean. And when it comes to the wedding, Ben, please, I want you to be standing up there with your wedding clothes clean because you're special. These are your special clothes. Please present yourself to me, back to me clean like this. Because you are special, separated, dedicated, chosen. Wish I'd thought about that earlier. Keep them nice. Don't play in the dirt. Don't do things that are going to ruin these clothes, Ben, please. People are walking out. I knew that would happen. The number one reason for holiness is this. Relationship. Sean Boltz says this, right? Holiness is protecting love and connection at all cost. It's all about relationship. Pleasing mum, keeping her happy. She brought these special clothes. Jesus has paid for the special clothes with his blood and he wants you to keep them clean. Can you guys come next week too? Ephesians 4, yes, you have some competition for the favorite, Jess. Ephesians 4:29 to 31, I'll give you a moment to turn there. Ephesians 4:29 says this, it says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Isn't it interesting to read those verses now through the light of the fact that you are holy, separated, chosen, and he wants you to keep your stuff clean, keep your clothes clean, and here's some ways that you keep your clothes clean. Don't let any corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Don't go and play in the bushes, Ben. What is good for necessary edification that may impart grace to the hearers? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by playing rugby in your good clothes, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. It says there, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Unholy living actually betrays who you are. It betrays the fact that you are the special clothes, right? And it does upset God. It says that not to grieve the Holy Spirit. It actually emotionally grieves him, just like mum would be if I came back and those clothes were covered in dirt and ripped because I'd been running through the bushes and playing rugby when I was actually separated from all of that in my nice clothes. Do you see the kind of difference? Yeah. Absolutely. That's my next point. She loves you still. See, we can't be praying for all the situations to be on earth as they are in heaven, but not living our own lives on earth as we are in heaven. We're separated out, chosen, holy. We have been selected. You are holy. So now live like that to keep your clothes clean, your special wedding clothes. Colossians 1 says this, 21 to 22. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. So he's taken us, wretched, poor, busted, disgusted, to use the preacher term, right? He's taken us, and by the sufferings in his own flesh, his own body, he's taken us, and now he has reconciled us, separated us to present us now like this, holy, obviously holy, right? As this little boy is, and blameless, above reproach in his sight. You have been made completely holy, separated, chosen. He's taken what was, cleaned it all up, delivered us, rescued us, brand spanking you and gone, wah, presenting us to the Father at cost of his own flesh. Don't mess up the clothes. Holiness has collective, corporate benefits. Ephesians 2, 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Wow. Did you catch that? God is making us a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. As a church, right? A house, a family, a collective temple. Special, selected, a dwelling place of his presence, a habitation. The household of God with him as the cornerstone. That's what he has chosen you for. Collectively, right? Okay, you ready for another analogy? I haven't got a picture for this one, so I might just leave that one up. Holiness and grace is like a car and insurance. How, Ben? Please tell us. Okay. The grace of God is to fix you up when you have a crash. There is no excess. There is no monthly fees. It's all free. But you have to make the claim. So we ride around in a brand new, clean car, no dings, no scratches, no dents. That's righteousness, right? Holiness. Grace is the insurance policy that undergirds us while we're out and about driving around. It's the insurance policy that if we have a crash, if we ding up the car in some way, the insurance is not going to leave us dented and dinged and smashed up. The insurance is going to fix it all up for us and renew us back to brand new. But the idea is not to keep just banging up the car, right? And grace is going to fix it up, because you want to have a brand new nice car to be driving around. But grace is there to cover us when we do have the little ding and little accident and we spin out a bit and we crash, right? There's no excess to pay or anything like that, but we do have to make the claim. You have to ring the insurance company, which is God, right? And you have to confess your sin to him, ask for forgiveness, and he fixes it all up and makes it all brand new like it never happened. But you have to make the claim, right? That is confessing your sins. 1 John 1:9 says, confess your sins to God. Hang on. If we confess our sins to God, he is faithful and just to cleanse us, to purify us from all unrighteousness, right? To make it as if it never happened. But we've got to actually confess it. So when we don't actually confess our sin, it's like driving around with a dinged up car. The car's all dinged up and dented and whatever, and it's not safe. If you've been in a crash, you're driving around in a crashed car, it's no longer safe. It's exposed to the elements. It's exposed to the weather. You open yourself up to the weather, to the atmosphere, to those things around you. The steering might be off. The alignment might be off because of the ding, because of the crash, right? So actually then taking it to God and saying, God, I'm sorry, I smashed up my car. He goes, right, that's no problem. I've already paid for it. You're completely covered. You've got full comprehensive cover. I'm going to restore it new for old. Brand spanking new. Bang. Repentance, right? It's kind of ties in there to confession as well. But repentance is about stopping doing what caused you to crash in the first place. So if you went really fast around a roundabout and you crashed into a tree, and that was your sin, right? That's where you spun out and you missed it. God fixes it up. That's no problem. It's all taken care of. If you go back out again and do that the same next day, and then the 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 next day, and you confess, and you confess, and you confess, God will fix it all up. He paid for it all. You've got to just make the claim. There's unlimited claims, right? 7 times 7 times 70, whatever. There's unlimited claims. But repentance is actually about slowing down on the roundabout so you don't hit the tree. It's about actually changing the course, doing something different, turning around and correcting why you were hitting the tree in the first place. So that when you come to the roundabout, this time you're going to go real slow and you're going to stay well clear of that slippery corner and that tree. You know that tree's over there. You've already hit it 20 times. It's finally gotten through to my thick skull. I'm actually going to go real slow around here now, stay well away from it, and whoo, breakthrough, and I'm safe. I'm gone. You already are holy. You're holy when you were in the panel beaters. You're holy when you hit the crash, the car, because you've been selected, separated, made special. That's who you are, right? But holiness is actually about going carefully around that corner and staying away from the tree. Sometimes it might actually mean you don't even go that way. You go a completely different way altogether. Take the road where it's got the traffic lights and stay away from that roundabout because it's a tempting roundabout. You want to go fast. You want to drop the clutch. It's a busy road and you can't wait for everyone. You've just got to go for it. You know that that's probably what you're going to do, so go another way. Don't mess your clothes up. If you go out and play rugby in your wedding clothes, you are going to get dirty. That's just what's going to happen. And mum's not going to be happy. No, probably to my brother. I was the good one. But right, when we don't, I want to come back, I've already said it, but when we don't fix the car up, right, smashing the car leaves an open door for the enemy. Do you understand that? Once you've smashed the car, the seals are all broken, it's all dinged and out of line. Someone who drives our car on a regular basis who's not myself. Recently, went up the back of another car, right? And dinged all the bumper and everything. And now the bumper is out of alignment. It's bent and sticking out on the sides, and the panels aren't quite right at the front. The seals are broken, and now the car is exposed to the elements and unprotected. So when we sin, when we crash the car, I wasn't actually meaning that, but I'm milking it. When we crash the car becomes dangerous, right? Like I said, it knocks the wheels out of alignment. You know, something can go wrong in the motor, the weather can get in, the seals are broken. You expose yourself to the enemy, and he's looking for a way to get in. So by keeping a short account with God, by making short, quick claims, it gets fixed up immediately. Again, everything gets sealed and taken care of. We don't expose ourselves to the opportunity of the enemy. Here's how a few different versions put that verse in Ephesians 4:27 that says, don't give the enemy a foothold, that one, right? So a whole different bunch of versions says, do not give the devil a foothold. Give no opportunity to the devil. Do not give the devil an opportunity. Neither give place to the devil. Do not give the devil an opportunity to work. Neither should you give place to the slanderer. Do not leave room for the devil. By keeping a short account with the Lord, we don't give room for the enemy, right? Make no mistake, when we crash the car, we expose ourselves, right? We actually mess up our clothes. We give an opportunity for our lives to get messed up. But the grace of God is there. We just need to actually make the call and make the claim, get it all fixed up and covered and everything back on track, right? In keeping a short account, you know, like if you crashed your car, you got it fixed, and then on the way home from the panel beaters, you crashed it again. Right? You don't have to think, oh man, I better wait till there's a few more dings before I can take it back again. I only just drove out of the panel beaters. I'm too embarrassed to go right back now and say, I just. No, God says, you know what? I've already completely paid for it. Don't you flip and hang on to it. I've already bought it. I've already paid for it. It's an unlimited policy. It doesn't cost me any more for you to get it fixed again twice today. I've paid in full. Get it fixed twice today if you have to. Keep a short account. Righteousness keeps us in the sweet spot of holiness. Righteousness keeps us in the sweet spot of holiness, like a freshly cleaned car with that new car smell. Doesn't it just feel good when your car's clean? Remember back then? When the car's all clean, it just feels nice, you know? It's like when you have clean new shoes. For like a week or so, they're real clean and nice, and you think they're always going to be like that. And then somebody comes and stands on them. And it pushes your Christian grace to the edge. You want to just smack them for standing on your brand new clean shoes. I love this verse. Psalm 85:10 says this, right? Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Righteousness and peace are intimately, closely connected to each other. When there's righteousness, there is peace in your heart. When the car is clean and brand new and been all fixed up, there's peace. When you've had a crash and it's dinged, you're driving around with a, you know. It's just not peace. It doesn't feel as nice, right? And there is no peace like that place of righteousness. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Colossians 3 from 12 to 13 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, therefore, because you are the special, chosen, separated, dedicated out for the Lord people, beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Wow, right? This is how you keep your car clean. 1 Peter 1:13. I'm sorry if I'm using the Bible too much. Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind. The loins of your mind. Be sober. And rest your hope fully upon the grace. Excuse me. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it's written, be holy because I am holy. Holiness is the very character and nature of who God is. To be holy is to emulate him. To be holy is to be Christ-like. It's to be like our Father, like our Dad. That's what it means to be holy. Holy is who God is. It's what he is. Just like good is what God is. Right? We actually define good by who God is. Not the other way around. Good is what God is. God is not good. Good is what God is. God is good. Don't ever. Ben, Pastor Ben said God is not good. I heard him. It's on YouTube, just that line. God is not good. God is not good. God is not good. That's what happens. It's what happens all the time. These little lines get edited out. Huh. I know you don't know how to do that, Ed. Be holy because I'm holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Don't you love that? Did you catch that? Conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Man, so don't be caught up, distracted, tempted, conforming to the former lust. This is my translation. But keep yourself saved for a special occasion, separated out for God. Because you weren't redeemed just by money. You were actually redeemed by his blood. He bled to pay for your redemption and your holiness. So ignore all those former lusts and all the rest of it to keep yourself like that special, separated out for God. Presence-prioritized living cannot be separated from holiness. To prioritize his presence, we also must prioritize holiness. If his presence is our priority, then holiness must also be our priority. Keeping our car and our clothes clean. Smith Wigglesworth said, holiness is the habitation of God. Holiness is where he dwells, where his presence dwells. One final big verse here, 2 Peter chapter 3. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all of these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Isn't that awesome? So that's all I really felt to share about tonight, about what holiness is and what being holy is. I don't want to go into a list of behaviors or anything like that, because I think we all know, you know. It's not about not going to the movies, do you know what I mean? It's not about not dancing or, you know. It's about keeping your clothes clean. It's about keeping your car clean. You are holy. You have been selected, separated, dedicated, made special for the Lord. Now just keep your clothes, good clothes clean. And there's an insurance policy there. If you crash the car or you fall over in the dirt, you need to quickly get it fixed up. But the idea is to actually keep it clean. Repentance is about not going back out and playing in the dirt, not going around that roundabout again. Take the different directions. Stay well away. Flee from where the temptation is for you to drop the clutch and hit the tree. And holiness is the habitation of God. I love that. It's not that God goes away. We just put dirt on ourselves that just somehow separates us. And if the ultimate pursuit, like Sean Bolt said, of holiness is actually relationship and connection, protecting connection and relationship at all costs. Yeah? All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We love you. Father, we thank you that you chose us. You made us holy. You made us, you selected us specially You set us apart. You put us aside. You made us the good clothes for special occasions in the wardrobe. Ah, you've called us out. You've made us a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Ah, and we thank you for that. We thank you. Jesus, we thank you that we are holy because of your blood, because of what you paid for. That is so awesome. That is so awesome. And just collectively, all of us tonight, we just put in any claims that need to be made right now. We come to you. We just confess our sin right now across this room, and we just ask you just to fix the car up again. We're sorry, God. We're sorry that we hit that tree again. But we thank you that you paid for it, that there's insurance, and that you restore old for new. You make everything brand new, and you don't even keep record of the claim. You cast it into the sea of forgetfulness. You separate it as far as the east is from the west. It never happened. We've never crashed the car. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that it's not by might, not by power, but by your Holy Spirit that you've made us holy, that you empower us to holiness. Huh. And we just give our hearts to you tonight in a fresh way, God, in a fresh way. We commit and devote ourselves to you, especially again tonight. Huh. We love you, God. We love you. We love your presence. We give you the highest praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.